receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And when he beholdeth himself, he goeth away and forgetteth what manner of man he was.
But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves, being not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone says he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. For religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit widows and orphans in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold in the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory.
Suppose a man walks into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man comes in also. If you show special attention to the one to the rich man and say to him, "Here's a good seat for you," and to the poor man, "Stand over here," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not become judges among yourselves? Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and inherit the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him?
But you have disowned the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do not they blaspheme that noble name by which you are called?
If you really keep the royal law, according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as thyself, you do well.
And if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers.
This is one of the vacancies that's here, so I want to read this passage for you. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, "Do not commit adultery," and all said also, "Do not kill." Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment.
What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well. Keep warm and well fed," what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead.
But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." Thou believest in God, in God, thou doest well. Even the demons believe and tremble. O foolish man, do you want to, do you know that faith without works is dead? Was not our father Abraham justified when he offered up his only son Isaac on the altar?
You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is considered righteous by what he does, and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction?
For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle his whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body.
Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind.
But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain from the same place send forth sweet water and bitter?
Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So no fountain can yield both salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out a good conversation of his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have envying, bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This is wisdom. This is not wisdom that descendeth from above, but this is earthly, sensual, devilish.
For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The fruits of righteousness are sown in peace to them that make peace. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of the lust of your members?
You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother speaketh evil of the law. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judge the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to... Thank you. Save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say... Don't tell me. Today or tomorrow, we will go to such a city and buy and stay there a year and buy and sell and get gain.
Whereas you know not what will be tomorrow, for what is life? It is even a vapor that is here for a little time and then vanishes away. But what you ought to say is, if the Lord wills, we will do this and that. But now you rejoice in your own plans. All such rejoicing is evil. And if a man knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin.
Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness upon you. And shall eat your flesh as if it were fire. Ye have heaped together treasures for the last days. Behold, the hire of your laborers, which have reaped down your fields, who have reaped down your fields, which you hold back by fraud, have cried, and their cries have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath.
You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nursed your hearts as in a day of slaughter.
Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. But be patient, therefore, my brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receives the early and latter rain.
Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near.
Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation.
Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call upon the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain for the space of 3 years and 6 months, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the earth gave forth her fruit. And he prayed again, and it did not. Now, Brother Larry, I knew this. I'm going to start over. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly, subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the earth gave forth her rain, the heaven gave forth the rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and someone turn him from the error of his way, He has saved a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. Amen. I did know it, but I, you know, got me confused, Brother Brett.
Friends, before you offer your applause to this good group, let me just say one thing. In a crowd this size, we were reasonably sure that there would be a few perfectionists in the midst, and so some of us chose to skillfully interweave a little error so that you could catch it and wouldn't go away disappointed. Show these folks what you think of them. Amen.
Hold your space. Hold up right there. Hold up. Hold up. Don't leave me. Thank you. Don't leave me yet. I'll be all alone up here if you do. I got a couple of questions that I want to ask you as relate to the exercise that you just went through here. I'd like to ask you if anybody would be willing to share with us the method that you used to get to where you are today. The method. How did you go about the memorization process?
You start early and you can repeat it, but verbally I'm not very good at that. And I have a lot of time in meetings at work. So my spiral that I take notes in, I will write it, and I write it, and you will find it written in that spiral about 100 times until I can write it without having to refer to anything else. So I just write it over and over, like the old spelling words that you had to do 10 times. And when I can write it without any help from anything else, then I've got it, and I keep repeating it. And we did this once before with another Psalms 119, and I still have those memory verses in my heart. And it's so important to keep that in your heart. And if I can take just a second, there's a book by Ray Bradbury called Fahrenheit 357, where books are burned. That's the temperature which book pages burn. That's why it's named that. And in that book, there are four men who travel together. They don't go by their birth names. And when I came up here, and I asked the person in front of me, what are your verses? And she said, I'm such and such, and I'm 14 through 17. Those men went by the names of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because they had to memorize them for when they didn't have the written word. So I consider an honor to be James 4:17-19, and any other memory verse I can have. So, but I use writing. It helps me.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
First of all, I want to challenge you young folk to memorize Scripture now. Because I memorized Scripture when I was a kid and it was so easy. It is not so easy now. So my technique was a little bit different. I created a note on my iPhone. I committed it to memory back starting early in November. And then I made it a habit periodically at night before I went to bed to challenge myself to recite it. But I have my phone in case I couldn't. But I did memorize it by heart in December, and once you memorize something by heart, it's very easy to recall. And I didn't have to try very hard at all to prepare for the pre-work and the memorization. So young kids, start now. You're not always going to have a sharp mind, and it will stay in your heart because the scriptures I remember as a kid, I can still bring them to mind. But I'm thankful I started again and have a few four now. And it takes about 10 times longer to learn four verses.
Okay.
Yeah, if there's people out that think that they can't memorize a scripture, we memorized the wrong ones. And so we got ours last week. And so it just takes work. So we started literally last week memorizing the verses, and we got them pretty close. But you can do it.
Amen.
Well, for me, it was easy just to print out the scripture, and every time I got in the car to go somewhere, which is often, I studied it, which really helped me. But I do kind of wonder why, when Brother Brett was kind of saying in awe, how did you memorize it, he was looking at me. What she says is true. As you get older, it gets harder, but that's how I did it.
Repetition, reviewing every single day.
But I have to share this real quick. There's kind of an additional benefit for me. My husband, many of you know, is not saved. And I had him to hold the cards as I reviewed them out loud. And so I was able to at least share some of God's word with him too.
Amen. Excuse me. Somebody over here?
The way I memorize scripture, I just use the 3x5 cards. And I do drive a lot. So when I'm at a stop sign, I have it in front of my, behind my steering wheel. And during the stoplight, I'll go through the scripture. I didn't do it this time, but in the past, I've also used yellow sticky notes. And I put them in the bathroom. And while you're getting ready for the day, you have the scripture there and you can review it then. But mostly I use these 3x5 cards. And lots of repetition.
I too received, I had heard that a brother wasn't going to be able to be here. And I stepped out in faith and took the challenge and approached Debbie and Brother Larry and asked him what the verse is just 2 weeks ago. And I've never done this before. And I've always been one that says, oh, I'm too old, I can't do this. We can do all things through Christ. I too used the index cards, and I would memorize up to a comma, which I always pause there when I read. And my heart was hurting, so I was determined to do it, and I put my heart into it, and God helped me. And I had it really down in 2 or 3 days. And I took the challenge, too, because we tell our youth to memorize scripture, and I work with the youth, too, and I wanted to be an example for them, and that's what I did.
When I was younger, I used to memorize scripture real easy. And as I got older, it got harder. So this time what I did, the first thing I did was I took the Bible, I printed out my scriptures, a piece of paper there, and I memorized the first verse, or first part of a verse, and I kept repeating it. And when I got that, then I memorized the second and repeated both of them, and I went on that way, and within about a month's time, I had the whole thing memorized. Then all I had to do was keep repeating it, and I'd wake up early in the morning, first thing I'd do before I ever got to bed, I'd say that verse over and over. And I found it, even though I'm older now, it's still easy enough to do. And I figure, at my age, if anybody could do it, if I could do it, anybody else can, especially the younger ones.
I, too, wrote my verses down over and over in a spiral until I could remember them. And most of you know, Larry and I walk every morning. And so as we were walking every morning, we would say them out loud, because I've found that even if I can write them down, saying them out loud, and especially saying them out loud in front of all you people, is difficult. So as we walked every day, we would say our verses out loud. So pretty much we've learned each other's verses too. And I just wonder, how many people still know their verses from Psalm 119 that we learned last year?
Yeah.
What she said.
Usually I memorize verses by putting them to song. That's usually how I memorize them. This is a little bit different. A four-verse song would be a little weird. But this one, it worked really well for me because it's a story. My section was a story about a rich man and a poor man and discriminating against them. And for me, I related it to my life. I teach the kids that are really struggling, and they're rich and they're poor, and some of them don't even have homes to live in. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And to look at their discrimination and how they feel about themselves because of the way people treat them. Mm-hmm.
it's really, really hard. And so for me, my verses really related to my life, which made it a lot easier to memorize them. And I was able to live them. And not discriminate against them and show them God's love. And I've had so many amazing successes with them because of the way God has taught me to treat other people. And I just pray that it will continue.
Amen. Yeah.
One thing that I did also was I went to find out what the scripture meant, and that would help me understand it and remember it. And when I would repeat it over and over throughout the day, I also meditated on it throughout the night. I found myself saying it all night long in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, that leads me into my second question. And obviously a couple have already answered the question there. Memorization is one thing, but the purpose and the use of that memorization is something completely different than that. Obviously, the verses that you used or that you memorized became a part of something that was going on in your life, became the answer to something that was happening in your life. Okay. And so, you know, once you get familiar with something, it begins to do a work.
Just so happens my...
Come on.
My boy's here today.
Yeah.
It wasn't by accident. I realized I was delayed, late, because I'm thinking, there's only four. We had 10 last time. And we went on a trip during the holidays before that, though, when I would remember and start working on it, I would write it. And I'm like, oh, my God. I called his pastor. I'm like, you wouldn't believe the verses I have about the need of lifting each other up and praying. And if you're sick, pray. If you're happy, praise the Lord. And I'm like, you know what it says here, Stuart? What, Mrs. Hughes? It says to call upon the elders of the church, you know. Lay hands on, and you can still do that. anoint, you know, you got some oil, Brett. We can still do that, but I'm like, at the end, I realized, and another pastor told me this many times, never underestimate the power of a praying mom.
Right.
I'm like, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous mother, not that I'm righteous, availeth much. So I'm like, wow. You know, I didn't ask for that. It was just given to me. I praise God.
Yeah. Ah, here we go. We'll just go right down the row.
All right, I'll go first. My verses were very practical, and they were very, I thought, pretty simple compared to some of the verses others had, but they had to do with the tongue and it being an unruly evil and the truth that out of the same mouth that you praise God, that you bless God with, you curse men. And when I was in the Air Force, or even before then, I had a filthy mouth. And when I got saved, that was something that the Lord, I can't explain it. There's just, you know, I was a new creature. I was a new creation. So cleaning up my language wasn't something that I had to, that was not something that I really had to work at. It was like, you know, God just, he changed me. You know, I had no desire whatsoever to talk that way anymore. You know, but we might not use foul language now, you know, but we can say things that are hurtful or ugly, or you can curse men in other ways, you know, and say things you ought not to say. And so the Holy Spirit really used this this passage as I hid it in my heart and tucked it away. He brought it up. He would bring it up a lot, you know, even if I wouldn't say something necessarily, but if I had a thought, you know, ugly thought about something or somebody or something someone did, you know, that little portion that says, these things ought not so to be. These things ought not so to be. The same mouth brings forth blessing and cursing. And so the Spirit of God uses the Word of God that He wrote to bring stuff up in your and call things to memory, as you, and that's how we're sanctified. Jesus said, John 17:17, Father, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So don't just memorize it to get through an exercise and recite it, but, you know, hide it in your heart. Gotta give the Spirit of the Lord something to work with and use to renew your mind.
So true. And in that studying what it meant, asking for application. And so he's told me for a long time, no more Bible study, apply, apply, apply. So in asking him that, he demonstrated it for me. One morning I'm sitting, I have to explain, Walter has excellent hearing. I mean, above normal. And I was sitting in my room talking on the phone with someone, and he hears every conversation, every word. And he's in the other end of the house, at least 40 feet away. And I'm talking quietly on the phone, and he overheard what I said, and I was talking about him, and it wasn't all good. I wasn't running him down. It just wasn't all pleasing. And so I got up when I finished whatever. He's in the kitchen by then, and I went in to hug him, which I do some mornings, and he said, "Don't touch me. I heard what you said. I don't ever want to hug you again. You're phony," and he gave me the route, okay? And I knew what I had said was not kind, okay? It wasn't evil. It just wasn't kind. And that was a clear demonstration of the fact that the tongue is set on fire of hell. And what it did in him was the fire that I started with my tongue. And it was set on fire of hell for what happened to him, and that's just the opposite of what God wants while he's in my home. So yes, it's very convicting, and application is always very real when it comes from the Lord.
Just real quick, Larry, I thought you handed my verses personally, but then I realized it was the Lord. And there were two great nuggets in the scripture that I had. One was just to show your faith by your works. And the other was, I'm a perfectionist by nature, and the key to perfection is controlling the tongue. And that was very powerful to me and meaningful to the temperament of a person that I am.
In my verses, the one that really, really hit home with me, you see that a person is made righteous by what he does and not by faith alone. We can read the Bible, we can study it, we can recite it, and just what Brother Brett's having us allude to here, by what he does, very, very much so.
Okay.
Brother Brett?
Yes.
You never made it to this end. Don't have time.
You're right, and I can see that glint in about a dozen eyes right here at the moment. Okay. You get the point. Do you get the point of what the exercise is about? It was kind of almost kind of like tricking knees into getting something. When you take the challenge, you can't come out the other side worse. You're going to come out better on the other end. So it has a benefit. Just if you go about it even mechanically to start with, it'll have a benefit. Out the other end. Thank y'all. Awesome this morning. Memorization and memorization is a huge discipline. And we're talking last week, and I told you it'd be a two-parter. Looks like it'll be a three-weeker at this point. But we were talking about how to know the will of God. And it just kind of boils down to, as we looked at last week, the idea and the fact that knowing the will of God is predicated upon an individual being surrendered to the will of God. And if an individual is not surrendered to the will of God, you're not in a shape to understand what God wants you to do or to make right choices. And in that surrendering to the will of God, memorization is a very important piece. Very important piece. I push people and I pull people and I shove and do whatever I can to get you in the Scriptures. Because I know that if you get in there, I know what it'll do to you. I know what it'll do for you. It won't do anything but help you. Okay? Get you into the Scriptures. Reading plans, get a plan. I don't care whose plan you follow. Follow a plan, but follow a plan and do it. Get into the Word. Make it a regimented, disciplinary, daily exercise of getting into the Word. It will help you. It will grow you. It will make you better. Now, if you want to jumpstart that, if you want to put that on steroids, memorization. Memorization is the thing that will invigorate your Bible study. The methods that these folks used here, tried and true. Tried and true. Writing, repetition, all of those things. The method, the post-it notes, the 3x5s, the review, the electronic medium now to be able to carry that with you in your phone and et cetera. All of these things, wonderful things. I would add a couple of steps in there. One of those steps is put that reference in there. Memorizing Scripture without the reference is tough. Tough to find sometimes. Tough to point to. You need the reference. Okay? Put the reference on the front, say the verse, put it in the middle, and then put it on the end so that you attach it to what you have. Attach that reference to that memorization. It will help you in the long run. Another thing that I've found to be helpful is to attach a topic to the verse so that when a topic comes up, these references and these verses come up in your mind. For example, if I'm talking about the Word of God, I can tell you right now there's at least 5-6 verses that pop up into my mind. And they're a trail that tell me about the Word of God. Okay? 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. I think about 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, but holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Talks about the inspiration of the Scriptures there. When you have topical things tied to it, when a topic comes up, these things come flooding back into your memory so that you can use these things. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Meditation upon the Word of God. Meditation is important. Meditating on the Word of God is even more important, to be able to put something there that can be called back and to be used at certain times. All of this hooey that we talk about with yoga and meditation and empty your mind and all that stuff, man, that's just what the devil wants. He wants your mind empty so that he can put something in it. You can't cram things into a full mind. And I say to you, fill your mind with good and godly things and you won't leave a crack for somebody to shove in stuff that shouldn't be in there. The devil loves a void. He loves a vacancy. When there's a vacancy, he wants to put something in there vile and vulgar, something that'll pull you away from the things of God. So put that topic in there. Add that topic to what you have with your memorization. Make it a part. Ingrain it into the verse. For the address, the verse itself, and the topic of what you have there so that it is easily recalled and brought back whenever you need it, when that topic or when those things come up in your life. Very important things that we have there. Memorization is like if we want to fly from here to San Diego, if we want to go from here to San Diego, we can fly. It's an easy route. We load up in a plane, and on a clear day, if we fly across all the way out west to San Diego there, you can look out your window and you can look at topographic features. That's like your daily Bible reading. You fly over. You get your Bible out, and you've got your day mapped out, but you're going to read your chapter this morning or whatever your assigned reading is, and you fly over headed for San Diego. You fly over that country. You can look out at some of the topographical features or whatever else, but you're not going to get down into the weeds. A better way to do that would be to take Amtrak. Get down and follow Route 66 all the way from here, all the way out there. Buddy, you can get out and you can look and see through those windows. You can get up close and personal to the mountains in Big Bend and look through all of those things as you travel through there. That's when you really get down and study the Word of God. When you study the Word of God, you get up and kind of somewhat personal with everything that's out there. But the best way would be to get in the car. Get in the car, and then you can take those side trails and see those interesting things. You can get out of that car in neighborhoods, and you can go up and look at the very plants. You can get out and look at architecture. You can look at everything. You can even go inside some of the buildings. And friends, that's what we're talking about when you get into word studies, and that's what meditation and memorization bring you to. Meditation and memorization bring you to that point of understanding every word in that verse. Chewing on every word in that verse. Getting all the juice out of that. Getting all the good out of it. And God teaching you and showing you how it all fits together. And when it becomes yours, it becomes yours. Understanding that there's a context, understanding that there is a setting that all of this is in. Understand the outside and get into that verse, and buddy, that verse will get into you. It'll get into you. And when it gets into you, it just kind of seems to pop up at inopportune times when we've opened our mouth and said something untoward. When we've acted in a manner that would not be consistent with the Word of God. If you want to know the will of God, you got to have the Word of God as the basis. If you want to know the will of God, you have to have a surrendered life. And friend, there's no better way to have a surrendered life than to get into the Word and let the Word into you, to drill it down deep into your heart, to drill it right down deep into your soul, so that when occasions come up, so that when topics come up, you have fuel. You have something to call up. You have something to use in the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. Friend, what we're into here this morning is a battle. There's a war raging. And if you're not equipped and ready for the battle, you'll be a casualty. You'll be a casualty or a dropout in the battle that we have before us today. So I want to encourage you, by virtue of having seen what took place this morning and heard what took place here today, to, in this new year, add the discipline of memorization to what you already have as a good foundation. Oh, it's wonderful to read through the Scriptures. It's wonderful to study. But friend, it don't become yours until you make it yours, until it becomes a part of you. So I'd encourage you, get in there and memorize Scripture. Memorize that reference. Memorize that topic. Get with it. Get with it. Just like Joshua 1:8 says, it says that you are to meditate on this law. How can you meditate? How can it be in your mouth if it's not in your heart? That tells me that if we're to meditate and it's to be in my mouth, that means that we can all memorize, just like the man said, right? We can all memorize. I don't care who you are. I don't care how slow. I don't care what. I don't care. God wouldn't tell us to do something we weren't able to do. And so he says that this ought to be a part of the discipline of our life. Friend, we ought to make it a part of the discipline of our life. Amen? We have 5/5 Sundays in the year this year. 5/5 Sundays. And what I'd like to challenge you to do is, rather than taking some verses that someone assigned you, because that's another piece of it too, to make something your own is when something grabs your attention, that might be something that you put on the list that says, I need to memorize that. You ought to have your list as you go through of things that the Lord shows you that would be great for you to memorize. And then work that list systematically as you go through there. But in this year, what I'd like you to do is to follow that list out and do something about it. Not just think about it, but to do it. And here's what I'd like to do on the fifth Sundays of every, as they show up, to give you opportunity to share your memory verses with everyone else. The memory verses that God has led you into. Now listen, a person could possibly memorize 52 verses this year, one a week. Boy, that would be a huge thing, wouldn't it? To memorize 52 verses of Scripture in a year. That'd be a pretty good feat. But you know what? I'm not here pushing 52 in a year. I'm here pushing whatever it is that you can do and do well. I'm not talking about for volume. I'm talking about for quality, for quality here. What will be effective in your life? I'd rather have somebody memorize 12 verses all year and get them than have 52 and about 30 of them be some waters with something in there. So I'm going to challenge you in a different way. I'm going to challenge you to memorize Scripture this year and to share it with us when we get back together, and that on the fifth Sundays. On those fifth Sundays, I'll just get you to stand right where you're at. We'll pass the microphone, and you can share what you have memorized with the rest of us here on those fifth Sundays. You've got 5 opportunities during the month, okay? So make use of it. Listen, if it's just for you, it's not all that great. Listen, when we memorize and when we take the Word of God, it's not always just for me. There are others that are involved in that process. And so by virtue of taking in, internalizing, I can then use that as a tool to help other people. I can be an encouragement. I can be a challenge. I can call people out using the Scripture that the Lord has given to us with that. Okay? So we're going to further your challenge, my brother. You got them challenged and you got them here the last couple of years that we've been in this. Let's make this a steady diet. Let's make this a steady diet of what we have. And let's involve more, involve each other, and have some accountability. And you remember the Scripture says that we're supposed to bring something to the meeting when we come. Huh? We're supposed to bring what God has taught us. We're supposed to bring what God is doing in my life to the meeting. So now you have the opportunity to share what God's teaching you and showing you in your life and bringing that and sharing that in the meeting as we go through 17. 5 fifth Sundays. Prepare. If it's one good solid verse that really works your life over, it's going to be good. And if you're one of them that can memorize the book of Romans in a week, bring it. Bring it. Okay? And we'll enjoy and be encouraged by the time together. How many of you here have been encouraged this morning by what you've heard and what you've seen? Fabulous. All the way around. Fabulous. How many of you are convicted by what you saw here this morning? Got a little conviction going on in your life. Well, that's good too. Man, we've had church then. We've had church. Now all we have to do is respond to that. We've been encouraged. We've been challenged. We've been convicted. What do we do with it? Burp and leave? Huh? Burp a little green cloud and leave out of here and feel a lot better? No, we need to do something with it. Huh? Do something with it.
Brother God, I used to have a pretty good memory, you know, before I was approached. But anyway, the Lord made me back. I can remember songs, you know. But you know, God is a God of rhythms. You notice a lot of those people, when they start to form, they get in a rhythm. And they, you know, remember that with a rhythm.
You bet.
Rhythm, and I can, you know, but
yes. Amen. 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 Yes? Amen. Okay. All right. Well, I got the pot stirred up here this morning.
I wanted to share some good about Walter's hearing being so good because I would quote that 3 times a day. Every morning, I would read that out loud 3 times a day until I got it. So he heard it too.
Okay. Amen. Amen.
It is proven, and you memorize scripture, you're building new brain cells. Even if you kill them all, you'll memorize them and get new brain cells.
Well, it's good exercise, all right? Good exercise for, even if you've got one brain cell left, it's good exercise for that one, okay? So there's the challenge to you this morning. I know this does not lend itself to a one more verse and sing another song thing here this morning. But I'd like to, in the quietness of the moment, I'd like to bow our heads here in just a moment. I'd like to close with a word of prayer. And I'd ask an interest in seeing you here this morning. Just visit with the Lord about what you ought to be doing. Maybe it's as simple as starting a quiet time. As simple as getting into the Word every day. Maybe that's your starting point. Maybe you've been in the Word, but you've been in a hurry and it really hadn't been as fruitful as you'd like it to be. Maybe the Lord needs to slow you down for quality purposes rather than quantity purposes. Get you out of the plane and get you down on Amtrak level. Maybe you've been zooming through the West Texas terrain too fast and need to slow down and get into the neighborhoods. Do a little study, do a little slowing down on some things. Whatever it is this morning that you and the Lord need to talk about, I would encourage you to do that during this time. Make some commitment. Make some commitment to Him about where we go from here and what value that would have in our life. Amen? Let's pray together, and then we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much, Lord, for the opportunity and time that we've had here today to go through this wonderful book of James. And Lord, I know Your Word tells me that it will not return void. Lord, that once it's put out there in people's hearing, Lord, that there is power that is attached to the Word. It's quick and it's powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, You tell us that in Your Word. And I know this morning, Lord, that as the Word has saturated this auditorium, God, that it has also penetrated hearts and minds. And I pray, dear God, that word that has been released here this morning would just simply burrow down into the hearts and minds of Your people. God, that we might be about Your business. Lord, that we might be not just hearers of the word, but doers as well. God, that we might understand that faith that doesn't work is not faith at all. God, that we might understand that we are the only Jesus that many people will ever see. And God, that carries great weight and responsibility. And the only way that we can travel forward in that weight and responsibility is by being completely surrendered to You. Surrendering that takes place as we read, understand, and obey Your marvelous Word. Lord, I would also ask, Father, that for those that are here this morning that don't have a relationship with You, God, that Your Word would burrow deep in conviction into those hearts and minds. God, show us whether there be wicked ways in us. Show us, Lord God, whether we be in the faith or no. And Lord, let us not be content or complacent if there's a doubt in our mind about our relationship with You. And so, Father, I would ask You, Lord, to stir that up in us, that by Your Spirit You might visit every soul in the room today. Give assurance where assurance is needed. And Lord, bring doubts and fears to the surface where that is needed. Lord, that folks might be honest with themselves and then in turn, honest with You. Lord, I pray that You bring souls to Yourself as a result of hearing Your Word this day. So now, Father, we are dismissed from this building. We would ask You, dear Heavenly Father, to go before us and with us. Lord, draw us into that relationship that You want us to have. whereby, Lord, that the Word of God becomes the guardrails to our life, that we might stay within the guardrails and, Lord, not ride on the fence out at the right-of-way. God, help us to travel the road less traveled. Now, Father, I commit each and every one to you today. Lord, listen to the commitments and, Lord, seal them in each heart this day. Seal those commitments that have been made between thee and these that are before me in this room. And then, Lord, give strength to follow through. Give the moral fortitude to be able to follow through on those commitments. For, Father, I pray that in Jesus' name and amen.